Welcome to another deep dive, this time into a Supreme Court case. And this one is really about property rights and, you know, all the complexities that can come up around legal deadlines.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of explore what happens when a really simple word like, you know, prior to becomes this like center of this huge legal battle with tons at stake.
Yeah. And what's really fascinating about this case is it shows how you can have, you know, a strict interpretation of the law butting heads with what a lot of people would consider, you know, fair or just in a certain situation.
Yeah. So let's imagine for a second, you know, it's the Wild West. Gold rush prospectors are all over the place staking claims on public lands.
Right.
And back then it was basically finders keepers.
Yeah.
But then fast forward to 1976 and the government's like, okay, we need them order here. And they come in with this big thing called the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, FLPMA.
FLPMA.
It changes everything.
Yeah, FLPMA totally changed the game. It created this whole system for, you know, managing and recording these mining claims. Okay.
So, you know, we're not in the 19th century free-for-all anymore.
Right. It's not just like a free-for-all.
No, you got to register your claim with the Bureau of Land Management.
Okay.
Got to file paperwork every year to prove you're actually working it.
Okay, that makes sense. Because otherwise you just have all these ghost claims just sitting there.
Exactly.
So nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
But this is where our case comes in.
Okay.
We've got the Locks family.
Right.
Who had been mining gravel in Nevada since the 1960s.
Wow.
So they'd been there a while.
Yeah, they were really established.
They were working their claims, but they miss a key filing deadline by one day.
Oh, wow.
And this leads to this whole showdown at the Supreme Court.
So the question is, did they lose everything just because they missed a deadline by one day?
Right.
You know, should that automatically mean they're out?
Yeah. So to kind of break all this down, we're going to look at excerpts from the Supreme Court's opinions on this case, and we've got the majority opinion.
Two dissenting opinions.
Uh-huh.
And there's even a concurring opinion that throws in a little twist.
Yeah, it gets interesting.
A little legal twist.
Yeah, and it's important to remember the court wasn't unanimous on this.
Right.
Which makes it even more interesting. You know, we see how these different justices are grappling with the law's language and what it all means for these people.
Yeah, so let's start by just setting the stage.
Okay.
Before this whole FLPMA thing came in, how were mining claims on public lands even handled?
Well, back in the 19th century, it was basically the Wild West.
Okay.
Like, no real regulation. Prospectors could just stake a claim, and as long as they did like a little bit of work each year to show they were developing it, they could hold on to it forever.
Wow.
They didn't even have to pay royalties to the government.
So it's just like
free land.
Take it.
Take the land.
Mine the gold.
Make your fortune.
That sounds like a prospector's dream.
Yeah, it was.
But I'm guessing that led to some problems.
Oh, yeah, definitely. By the 1960s, it was chaos.
Okay.
No central recording system.
Right.
Nobody knew which claims were actually valid or even where they were half the time.
So those are just like disputes everywhere.
Yeah, total mess disputes.
And then the government's like, oh, we own this land.
Right.
We don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
So enter FLPMA in 1976.
Right.
Landmark Act to try to bring some order to this whole Wild West of mining claims.
Yeah, they're trying to rein it in.
Okay.
Bring in some rules.
Well, so what did FLPMA actually do?
So FLPMA, it established that federal recording system we were talking about.
Okay.
So now miners have to register their claims with the BLM.
Okay.
And like we said before, the big thing is that annual filing requirement. So no more ghost towns full of abandoned claims.
Right. So you can't just stake your claim and just disappear.
Exactly. You got to prove you're there. You're working it.
You're doing something.
Well, serious.
So how did the Locks get caught up in this whole thing?
Well, the thing is, FLPMA requires miners to file certain documents every year.
Okay.
And the law says this needs to be done prior to December 31st of each year.
Right.
And that's where things get tricky for the Locks.
Okay.
Prior to December 31st sounds pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Locks filed their documents on December 31st.
Okay.
And they're arguing prior to means by the end of the day on December 31st.
Okay.
But the BLM, who's in charge of enforcing FLPMA.
Right.
They interpret prior to as meaning by the end of December 30th.
So we're talking about one day.
One day.
Making this huge difference.
Yeah. It's all coming down to how you read prior to.
It's like a grammar battle at the Supreme Court.
Right. And the stakes are high.
So who did the Supreme Court side with?
Well, the majority actually sided with the BLM.
Go ahead.
They went with the very literal interpretation of the statute.
Okay.
It said prior to December 31st means you got to file before then.
So the Locks were out?
Yeah, under FLPMA, they forfeited their claims.
wow, that seems harsh. Like they lose their livelihood because of one day.
Right.
And what seems like a tiny difference in how you understand the words.
It's a tough outcome for sure. I mean, what would you do
Yeah, I know.
if you were in their shoes?
It'd be rough.
The majority opinion was written by Justice Marshall, and he really focused on the difference between abandonment and forfeiture.
Okay.
He argued FLPMA doesn't care if the Locks meant to abandon their claims.
Okay.
It's about forfeiture,
Okay.
which is automatically losing your rights because you didn't follow the rules, even if you didn't mean to.
Okay.
It's like intent doesn't matter in this case.
So even though they'd been mining for years,
Yeah, actively working it.
they obviously wanted to keep doing it.
Right.
The court said, too bad.
Yeah, essentially, you didn't follow the letter of the law, so you lose.
But it seems like the point of the law is to stop those stale claims, the
Exactly.
ones that are just sitting there.
And that's what the dissenting justices pointed out. Justice Stevens and Justice Powell, they both wrote opinions saying the court should be thinking about the purpose of FLPMA, not
Fine.
punishing people who are doing what they're supposed to be doing just because of a technicality.
Right, they're not trying to skirt the rules or anything.
Yeah, they thought the majority was being way too rigid
Okay.
and not looking at the reality of the situation.
Well, they're trying to look at the bigger picture,
Yeah, the spirit of the law.
not just the letter of the law.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
like they're saying the rules are the rules, even if they don't make sense in this situation.
Exactly.
But you know, those dissenting opinions are interesting.
Yeah, so let's hear what those dissenting voices had to say.
Okay.
What were their arguments against this, like, super strict interpretation of that deadline?
Well, both Justice Stevens and Justice Powell, they were saying the court should be looking at what FLPMA was actually trying to do,
Okay.
which was prevent those stale mining claims,
Right.
not punish miners who are doing everything right just because of some like tiny technicality.
Yeah, they weren't trying to be sneaky or anything.
Right,
There was
exactly.
just a day late.
They thought the majority was being way too rigid and not considering the practical realities.
Okay, so they're looking at the bigger picture, not just the super literal reading of that phrase prior to.
Right.
So what did they actually find problematic about the majority's decision?
Okay, so Justice Stevens, he had a problem with the December 30th deadline itself.
Okay.
He thought it was ridiculous to have a deadline the day before the year ends,
Yeah.
especially when everything else about the filing is tied to the calendar year.
Right, it's an annual report.
Right. It makes no sense to him that Congress would intend such an impractical outcome.
Right, it does seem weird.
It does seem weird.
So what about Justice Powell?
Justice Powell was focused on due process.
Okay.
He argued that the law being so ambiguous, the vagueness of prior to, meant that property holders like the Locks,
Right.
they didn't have fair notice. They
Yeah.
didn't really understand what they were supposed to do. And he was concerned that this could end up depriving people of their property rights without giving them a fair chance to actually understand and follow the rules.
That's a good point, because it's like, how can a law be considered fair
Right.
if it could be interpreted in a bunch of different ways
Oh.
and then people get caught off guard?
Exactly.
But even if we forget about like how vague prior to is, the Locks were still late.
Yeah.
So is there anything they could actually use legally to challenge losing their claims?
That's where Justice O'Connor comes in with this concurring opinion.
Okay.
She agreed with the majority about the deadline,
Okay.
but she said the Locks might have a case based on something called equitable estoppel.
Okay. Equitable estoppel. That sounds kind of familiar, but honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Can you break that down for me? What is that, and how could it possibly help the Locks?
Think of equitable estoppel like a legal safety net.
Okay.
It's basically a way to stop one party from enforcing some right or contract.
Right.
If they made misleading statements that the other party relied on,
Okay.
so it's all about being fair and making sure people can't just take advantage of
Right.
a situation that they helped create.
So how does that apply to the Locks?
Well, the Locks are saying that the BLM actually gave them conflicting information about the deadline.
Okay.
So remember, FLPMA says prior to December 31st,
Right.
but the Locks are claiming that the BLM told them they could file on December 31st.
Oh, so they're saying that the BLM basically told them one thing,
Right.
but the court interpreted the law a different way.
Exactly.
So they're thinking the BLM shouldn't be able to take their claims away
Yeah.
because the BLM caused the confusion in the first place.
Right. They're saying, you told us it was okay.
That's like a legal gotcha.
It is a bit like that, But to use equitable estoppel, the locks have to actually prove that the BLM's statements or actions led them to believe that filing on December 31st was fine.
Right.
And they have to show that they suffered a real loss.
Which is the claims.
Which, in this case, is losing their mining claims.
Okay.
Because they relied on that bad information.
But couldn't the BLM just say, hey, everybody's supposed to know the law?
Right.
Doesn't matter what somebody at the agency told you.
Yeah, that's a typical defense. But equitable estoppel can be an exception.
Okay.
If the party that's trying to enforce the law is the one who created the confusion in the first place, then the court might be more sympathetic to that estoppel argument.
So the locks might win, but it's not guaranteed.
It's a possibility.
It all comes down to whether they were actually misled by the BLM.
Right. It depends on how strong their evidence is.
It makes you wonder if the BLM had just sent a clear reminder notice about the real deadline.
Right.
The locks wouldn't have a case at all.
Exactly. If the BLM's communication was super clear, then the locks wouldn't have a leg to stand on.
And this whole thing makes you appreciate that those dissenting opinions are so important.
They are.
Because if Justice O'Connor hadn't brought up this whole equitable estoppel thing, the locks might have just given up.
It's a good reminder that having different perspective and interpretations is really important when you're dealing with complex legal issues like this.
What stood out to you about this possible escape route for the locks?
What really gets me is how this case shows that the law isn't always black and white.
Right.
There's a lot of gray areas.
Especially with language that's open to interpretation.
Yeah. And when there might be miscommunication happening, it makes you realize that even when something seems straightforward, there can be these little nuances and legal principles that completely change the outcome.
It really shows you that, like, even the simplest things can turn into these, like, huge legal battles with all these twists and turns.
Right.
So where does this leave the locks?
Well, the Supreme Court, they didn't actually make a final decision about whether this equitable estoppel thing actually applies here.
Okay.
They sent the case back down to the lower court to look at it some more.
So it's not over.
It's not over yet.
So the locks, they still have a chance to get their claims back.
Right.
But it all comes down to this equitable estoppel thing.
Pretty much.
So what are their chances? Do they actually have a good case? Or is this a long shot?
It's hard to say for sure, you know.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what the BLM said to the locks and how they said it.
Right.
It all depends on how strong their evidence is that they were actually misled.
Okay.
You know, if they can prove that the BLM gave them bad information about the deadline and that they really believed it and acted on it, then they might have a shot.
What kind of evidence could they even use?
Oh, all sorts of stuff.
Okay.
Letters, emails, phone records.
Oh.
Maybe even testimony from people who work at the BLM.
Right, people who actually talk to the locks.
Yeah, they need to show that the BLM was giving them mixed messages about that deadline.
This whole case really makes you think about, like, the role of these government agencies. Because on the one hand, they're supposed to enforce the law. But then, like we see with the locks.
Yeah.
They can end up causing the very problems they're trying to prevent.
You're right. It's like they're supposed to enforce the rules.
Right.
But also explain them clearly.
Right. So that people can follow them.
So there's a responsibility to give people good guidance.
Right.
To make sure things are clear.
And if they mess that up.
Yeah. If their actions or statements confuse people.
Yeah.
Then it's not really fair to punish them for it.
Right. It's like they set them up to fail.
Exactly.
And it makes you think about how important clear communication is.
Oh, definitely.
Especially when it comes to legal stuff.
Absolutely.
Because there can be serious consequences.
Yeah, like deadlines and penalties.
This is a good lesson for anybody.
It is a good lesson.
Whether it's mining claims or anything else.
Yeah. Anytime you're dealing with the government or legal matters, document everything.
Keep track of it all.
Emails, letters, notes from phone calls.
All of it.
Everything.
Because you never know when you might need it.
Exactly. You need that paper trail.
If there's a dispute.
Yeah, protect yourself.
It's interesting, too, how this case shows that even when the Supreme Court makes a decision, it doesn't always mean the fight's over.
Right. There might be other legal options.
Yeah.
Other arguments you can make.
Right.
And sometimes there are these principles like equitable estoppel
that
can really change things.
So it's not always as simple as, like, the Supreme Court said this, so it's done.
No, not at all. The law is dynamic.
Right. It can change.
There's room for interpretation.
So what are your, like, final thoughts on all this?
What really sticks with me is how this case shows that the law is about real people. It's not just about these abstract principles and legal jargon.
Mm-hmm.
It's about people like the Locks.
Right.
Their jobs, their lives, and how legal decisions can affect them.
And sometimes you need help to figure it all out.
Absolutely. Seeking good legal advice is crucial.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap things up.
Yeah.
We've looked at this Supreme Court case from the history of mining claims.
Right back to the Wild West.
To this idea of equitable estoppel.
And everything in between.
And we saw how, like, just one day.
Yeah, one day.
Can make a huge difference.
And how important it is to be careful with legal deadlines.
And to keep good records.
Always keep good records.
So thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, this was a good one.
We'll be back soon with another one.
Looking forward to it.
Until then, keep learning and keep questioning and stay engaged with the world around you.